Syphilis infections have been rising globally, including in New Zealand, and the consequences of contracting it can be serious. Syphilis is a sexually transmitted infection which, if untreated, can affect the brain and other organs, as well as increasing the risk of getting HIV. A public health action plan aims to educate and encourage us to get tested in order to drive down the ballooning number of cases and prevent the serious consequences of spreading it. So in the spirit of having the brave and bold discussion and enhancing our understanding of syphilis, we are joined now by Dr. Julia Scott, Public Health and Sexual Health Physician at ESR, New Zealand's Crown Research Institute, and also Dr. Nick Jones, Director of Public Health with the Ministry of Health. Tēnā kōrua, Julia and Nick. Oh, are you there?
No way.
Yay! All right. I think we've got a slight delay. I don't know. We're going to see how it all sounds. No, I've got thumbs up. Thank you, Geordie. How fantastic. We've got both of you on the line. Just use an old-fashioned phrase. Let's break the ice and address the stigma around sexually transmitted infections to begin with. Julia, do you want to kick that off?
Sure. Thanks very much for having us on the show. So I think it's a good place to start to say that contracting any kind of infection is not an issue of character. Infections don't discriminate, and anyone can get syphilis or any other STI or any other infection for that matter. Did you want to add to that, Nick?
Well, you know, this is actually quite a big topic, isn't it? You know, if you think about the history of the way cultural and moral kind of norms throughout history have applied to sexual behaviour, it's a big topic. And you know, they, of course, they serve a purpose. You know, not only do they regulate the way in which we reproduce, you know, as a species or as a culture, but they also can be kind of protective in terms of sexually transmitted infection. So it's a big topic, and I think we could spend the whole evening talking about it. But I think your point is the key one, which is that actually, from a health point of view, the most important thing to think about is what's the most effective way of actually preventing these infections. And certainly, you know, in any way, making people feel scared about going to get tested or shy or whakamau, it's not going to be helpful. So absolutely, I totally agree with you.
Let's talk about the number of cases of syphilis in New Zealand and why you're both concerned. And it's not just you who are concerned, but yeah, let's go there. What's going on?
At ESR, we monitor the numbers of cases of syphilis reported to us by health providers, and we've actually been monitoring syphilis for decades. One of the key things that we look at is case numbers per quarter, and the highest number of cases that we've ever seen in Aotearoa was back in 2019. We had this fairly slow, steady increase from 2013, prior to which syphilis was really rare in New Zealand. And then we got up to this peak in 2019, and quarter one of 2019 was the highest number we've ever recorded. But after that, after the first quarter of 2019, we saw a steady decline in case numbers. So the decline started before COVID. It went through 2019, 2020 and 2021 and into the first half of last year. But then in the second half of 2022, we then saw this big jump. And it was quite alarming because it was a 41% increase in case numbers from the first to the fourth quarter of last year.
Wow.
And that's the biggest increase. Yeah, quite a substantial jump, and that's the biggest increase that we've ever seen. Even when we look back to before we had what we call the sort of peak of our syphilis cases in 2019, we hadn't seen a jump that substantial. So that was very concerning to us, because syphilis has a number of of impacts on adults and also on babies in terms of congenital syphilis.
Can I just stop you there,
And
Julia, though, because I think we probably just need to make listeners aware that this is not a New Zealand-only phenomena. It is a global trend going on here. Do you want to comment on that?
yeah, absolutely. So we, as Nick says, we know syphilis has been increasing internationally, and we've also been monitoring that. So across Australia, for example, the United Kingdom, the United States, those countries have all reported increases in syphilis, in infectious syphilis among adults, and also in congenital syphilis among babies. And their increases started in 2021, so our spike has been a bit later. And we have, in some ways, been expecting to see an increase coming out of COVID and our changes in behaviour and healthcare interactions and access around that. We are likely to be seeing some of the aftermath of the end of COVID. People might have been less likely to seek testing during that time. And we also know that there is an unmet need for sexual healthcare.
Nick, do you want to pick up this next question? Who is most at risk?
Sure. I think Julia's, I mean, because she's really working very closely with the data, will be able to confirm this. But certainly men who have sex with men, it's been, one of the predominant groups. But increasingly we've seen women also affected with syphilis. And obviously now there's, a real concern that women who are infected are starting to pass it on to their babies. But I'm going to hand that over to Julia, who's got more detail.
Thanks, Nick. So, yeah, if we look at our data, so again, coming back to the point that anyone can get syphilis, but if we look at our data, the increase we saw at the end of last year was primarily in men. So there was an 81% increase among men who have sex with men, a 76% increase in men who have sex with women, and as Nick mentioned as well, we've also seen this slower, steady increase in case numbers in women over the last few years. And something that is really striking from last year's data is that a really high proportion of cases of syphilis in young women were actually in young pregnant women. So over 40% of cases of syphilis in women aged 15 to 44 that we recorded last year were pregnant. And what that means is that we're not doing enough testing in women before pregnancy. And this is really important to prevent the impacts of syphilis on pregnancies and on babies. As Nick mentioned, that is also something that we're really concerned about.
We'll come to
Yeah, I was
that.
going to add
Oh,
that
you
I
go,
think
Nick.
I was just going to add that I think the fact that the cases that we're detecting are among women who are pregnant is possibly also due to the fact that we're doing testing more testing in that population. So yeah, it doesn't mean that it's only pregnant women get syphilis. It's more likely to mean that that's the group that's getting the tests. I don't know if you
Yeah,
would agree
that's
with that,
right.
Julia.
So, yeah, absolutely. So a syphilis test is a part of the routine blood tests that should be done in the first trimester of pregnancy. So when people go and see their GP or their lead maternity carer and have a suite of blood tests when they first become pregnant, syphilis is one of the things that is tested for. And that's been part of the antenatal screen for a long, long time, because of these severe impacts, that syphilis can have on pregnancies. So when women get pregnant, realize they're pregnant and seek antenatal care, they are or should be routinely offered a test, for syphilis. So picking up all of those cases through that antenatal screen indicates that these are people who had syphilis before pregnancy. And what we'd really need to do is to ideally pick it up before people become pregnant in the first place.
Let's talk about the symptoms. and either of you pick this up. I don't know, Nick, let's come to you. What are the symptoms? What are we looking for?
I'm definitely going to defer to Dr. Scotty. She's the expert on the symptoms.
Go for it. I'm happy for either of you to pick this up. I'm just delighted one of you does.
Sure, I can absolutely answer that. So the first symptom that people often notice is a sore or an ulcer, which might be in the genital area. It can also be in the mouth or around the bottom, and it's usually painless. After that, people can notice a rash, and the rash might not necessarily be in the area that you would expect. So it can be on the whole body. It can just be on the torso. It can sometimes affect the palms of the hands and the soles of the feet. But one of the really tricky things about syphilis, and the reason it can go undetected in communities for such a long time, is that about 50% of people with syphilis never have any symptoms at all. So the only way that they would know that they had the infection is to be tested.
Wow. So let's talk about the test. That's quite high, isn't it? Or is that not unusual for sexually transmitted infections?
It's not that unusual for sexually transmitted infections. They often don't have chlamydia as the other one that's often, very often, not symptomatic. But the other thing about syphilis is that it does not resolve on its own. So it's very easily treated, but if it's not, it will stay in the body, and it can also remain infectious for up to 2 years. So these are some of the challenges with, picking it up and really understanding how much syphilis we've got and how to prevent it, is that it is often undetected for a long time.
Let's talk about testing for syphilis. How does that, what's involved?
Sure. So it's a blood test for syphilis. So if people are concerned, if they've got symptoms that they're worried about, or if they just want to get a test, they can see a health provider and ask for a test. So it's a blood test for syphilis. The usual swabs or urine tests that are done for chlamydia and gonorrhea don't pick it up. It needs to be a blood test. And that's something that is can be an issue as well. People think that they've had all of the tests that they need to have if they've just had a swab or a urine test. But yeah, it's a simple blood test, and then very easily treated when it's picked up.
And
can we be, provide more specific advice around who probably should get tested regularly? I mean, I know that this is, I don't want to be, something that's going to stigmatize people, but, are there people who you think actually maybe should be on the, getting tested more regularly than others?
Yeah, definitely. So we have the Aotearoa STI guidelines, which the New Zealand Sexual Health Service develops. And they outline for clinicians, and also they can be accessed by consumers, by anybody, and that outlines when to think about getting a test. So it's advisable if you have a new sexual partner to get a full STI test, and a full STI check includes swabs or urine and also a blood test. And then if people are having a larger number of sexual partners, casual partners, for example, then they should be having testing at least a couple of times a year, 2 to 4 times a year. I think it's something that people need to be aware of as part of a routine check. I think people may want to ask for a routine check, and they're not quite sure what to ask for, so wanting to get that message across that it's a blood test as well.
Let's talk about treatment. What's available? How's it treated if you do have a positive result?
So it's very easily treated. It's an injection of penicillin, and it's usually a one-off injection. If someone's had the infection for a long time, or they might have, and we're not quite sure how long they've had it for, it's a course of 3 injections over 3 weeks. So once a week for 3 weeks. And there are other options as well, for people who are allergic to penicillin. And then we follow people up. So we do follow-up blood tests 3 months, 6 months, and a year. After they've had their treatment and track their blood test going back to normal to make sure that the treatment's been successful and they haven't been reinfected.
And can you get rid of syphilis for good, or does it return?
You get rid of it. It's totally treatable with antibiotics, but people can be reinfected after they've been treated. It doesn't, being infected once doesn't, unfortunately, give you any immunity.
Now, if left untreated, what are the consequences?
Yeah, so people can have quite serious impacts from syphilis. So early syphilis infection can affect the brain. It can cause meningitis, which can make people quite unwell. It can also cause visual and hearing problems in the early stages. Before penicillin was available, people used to, after people had had the infection for 10 to 20 years, people used to go on to develop something called tertiary syphilis, which could cause dementia, it could cause heart disease, and actually it was quite a major cause of illness and death, before penicillin became available. And the other really serious issue, which we keep coming back to that we're really worried about is the impact on pregnant women and babies. So, like some other infections, syphilis can be passed from mother to baby during pregnancy through the placenta. And when babies are affected by syphilis, it's called congenital syphilis, and this can have really serious impacts, stillbirth or babies being born very unwell.
Can I just check with you, Julia, about the stage of pregnancy, and when the risk is greatest, and like if someone gets tested in the last trimester, the last part of pregnancy, is that still useful in terms of an opportunity to to be able to treat the mother and prevent the consequences of the ba for the baby?
Yeah, that's a great question. The earlier it's picked up in pregnancy, the better. The earlier it's picked up in pregnancy, the less likely it is that baby will have serious impacts from the infection. If it is treated within 4 weeks of delivery, so in the third trimester, or if baby's born early within 4 weeks of delivery, the treatment is less likely to be effective. So it is possible that the treatment will occur and then baby will still be born with syphilis. So early antenatal care and testing is really a crucial part of preventing congenital syphilis.
Ooh, it's a lot to digest, isn't it? But it's so important that we get this information out and about. Nick, this is a question for you. Why is it important to raise awareness and education about syphilis from a public health perspective?
So, look, it's a totally preventable condition, and anything that's preventable, we think we should be doing what we need to do that. But I think, the consequences that we're talking about, particularly in terms of the more potentially severe disease for the adults, but even more importantly for the babies, these babies can be born with, long-term disabilities. And that could affect them for a long period of their life, and potentially throughout their life. So we think it's really critical, and this is a condition that we haven't had in New Zealand for a long time. So it is critical for this information to get out, and it is a public health issue. And that's one of the reasons why government recognised the importance of this. And back in 2019, there was the Ministry of Health put out an action plan to control syphilis, and obviously we saw some benefits from that early on. Obviously we're needing to revisit that. And also, you know, and this Julia will laugh because she was very involved in this, I know, but the Aotearoa New Zealand sexually transmitted and bloodborne infection strategy came out early this year, and also recognised, I think, the importance, you know, that government and the Minister of Health put on this issue.
Let's assume for a moment that there's someone who's listening who has symptoms or they're concerned that they may have syphilis. What should the next step be for them?
So the best thing to do is to see a health provider and talk it over and get a test. If people don't have symptoms and they just want to check, they can access that in a number of different ways. So ask their GP, they can go to a sexual health clinic, family planning clinic. There are also options to test without seeing a health provider. So the Burnett Foundation and the Sexual Health 101 websites, people can enter information, be sent out a kit for STI testing, and also a form to go to a lab to have testing, which will be followed up by a health provider. So I'd really encourage people to, if they have a trusted health provider, to go and talk to them, or go to a sexual health or family planning clinic, or seek out a test in some way.
And for babies, will babies have already been tested, or if parents are concerned about their babies, is there next steps for them?
So syphilis should be tested for in every pregnancy. So we should know, the lead maternity carer should know whether or not baby has been exposed to syphilis in utero. And if there hasn't been any antenatal care and people have come in to deliver a baby, those tests are still done at delivery, so that should be picked up. There are some rare cases where congenital syphilis is not picked up in the kind of perinatal period. So often babies born with congenital syphilis are quite unwell and will be in hospital and will be tested for syphilis as part of their care. In very rare cases, older children who were affected by syphilis and haven't had any symptoms can also be tested with a blood test. That's a very uncommon situation. But again, if people are at all concerned, talk to a trusted health provider, their midwife, or the GP or someone that they trust who's looking after baby.
We've got just over a minute before the news at 10. Is there anything that either of you would like to also mention? Thank you so much for your time tonight on this very delicate but very important subject.
Let me just say, I mean, just to reinforce that, you know, healthy sexual behaviour is part of being human, you know, and we don't want people to feel stigmatised by, you know, any concern around the fact that they might have actually caught a sexually transmitted infection. It's really important. And, you know, I guess the other point from my point of view is that you know, the government has recognised this is really important and has developed a strategy around this. So we recognise the need to do more in this area. But Julia, I'll leave the last word to you.
Oh, last word. Wow. So I think probably the last word is just to, if people want to go and find out more information, there are a whole lot of Great New Zealand resources that they can look for. So the Burnett Foundation, which used to be the New Zealand AIDS Foundation, has got information.
I'm going to jump
on the website
in here now and just leave it. I'll take the details offline and people can get in touch.